Titus chapter number 2. And as soon as you find it, if you're willing and able to, let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. We'll begin reading in verse number 11. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11, the Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." I love that phrase, and I have it underlined in my Bible, verse number 13, where it says, "Looking for that blessed hope." And I want to preach for a little while this morning on this subject matter on there's hope in Jesus. There's hope in Jesus. Aren't you tired of the news media and the newspapers and everything? It seems like all around us, you talk to anybody, and there's no hope with anybody. You can't go to anybody and get any hope and encouragement for anything going forward. But aren't you thankful the Bible says that we're looking for that blessed hope? And that's what Baptists are known for. We're known for the book and the blood and the blessed hope. And I'm thankful for all three of them, but I'm going to preach about the hope in Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer, then you can be seated. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for the Word of God. And Lord, it's in the Scriptures that we find out about the hope we have of eternity and the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ and the hope we have in Him. And Lord, I pray that you'd encourage us, Lord, for those of us that are saved. But Lord, if there's one here that is not saved, never made that decision, I pray that you'd convict them and they'd realize their only hope is in Jesus. And Lord, would you do that work that it's only going to be you, Lord, that's going to be able to accomplish that. And we know that and we trust you to be able to do that. And so we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. As we look at this subject matter of hope, I want to, first of all, make sure we understand exactly what we're speaking of this morning. It is not that, are we going to lunch today? Well, I hope so. It's not something that is an uncertainty. It's not something that may happen or may not happen. As we look back and read the definitions, I love going back to Webster's Dictionary, but he defined hope in the spiritual sense as this. Here's what Noah Webster said. He said, "Confidence in a future event, the highest degree of well-founded expectation of good." The highest degree of well-founded expectation of good. And so when we say looking for that blessed hope, we are understanding that we're not looking for something that may or may not happen. We're not approaching this hope with uncertainty. It is the highest degree of a well-founded expectation of good. And we are fully expected. And you say, well, where's the well-founded? May I say this? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And we have the very Word of God. You say, what well-founded expectation do you have today? Well, I have what's listed here in the Word of God. And you say, well, I just don't have that today. Then you and I view the Scriptures in a totally different way. Because I take the Word of God as the very Word of God. I don't take it as the Word of man. And so as I look through Scriptures and I look at there's hope in Jesus, may I say what I know about my full expectation of future events, may I say I take them from the Word of God, that we can look at the Scriptures and we can apply them to our heart and lives. I'm reminded, as Brother Chamberlain had told me one day, he said, I always look at this, that the author of the Scriptures is the Lord Jesus Christ. The writers of the scriptures is mankind. Understand where this book came from. It's not just another novel that you sit down and read. It's not just another history book, although it records history for us. It's not just another science book, even though science has finally caught up with some things that are listed in the Word of God. It's not just a feel-good book. It's not just a history book. It's not just an emotional book that gives us love stories like the book of Ruth or the book of Esther. It's not just that type of book, but it is a well-founded expectation that we have, the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. As I say, when I know that I'm saved and that I'm on my way to heaven, I understand some people will answer that question and they'll say, well, I hope so. But they're understanding that it may be a certainty or it may not happen. I feel sorry for someone who doesn't have that confidence in a future event that will take place. As we read here, the Bible says we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. There's four things down through these five verses that as I look down through here and God was speaking to my heart about hope in Christ, because I'm tired of talking to a world that has no hope whatsoever. And I'm tired of hearing from a world that has no hope whatsoever. That I want to turn that thing back around and be able to say, but you got to understand, there is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to share a few thoughts as we look at the scriptures this morning. First of all, in verse number 11, the Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. There is hope in Christ in a salvation that is eternal. Boy, aren't you thankful for eternal salvation this morning? Aren't you thankful that if you were to draw your last breath right now and you were to step out into eternity, for those that have trusted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, we have the assurance in Christ. We have the hope in Christ, that confidence in a future event that we are saved for all of eternity. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for a salvation that is eternal. Look what the Bible says in verse number 14, who gave himself for us. May I remind us that this grace of God that bringeth salvation, I mentioned this probably a couple months ago in our college and career young adult Sunday school class, that I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the physical manifestation of the grace of God. The physical manifestation, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. May I say, according to Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 12, no, excuse me, you got to back up to the book of Acts, where there is salvation in none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, I believe I might get to heaven. May I say this? If there is any doubt whatsoever, then you do not have Bible salvation this morning. You see, the Bible teaches that once we are saved, we are adopted into the family of God. We become a child of God, and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, according to Ephesians chapter number 4. We are sealed unto the day of redemption. And if you say, well, Pastor, I've got my list of good works. I've joined the church. I've been baptized. I've helped this little old lady across the street. I've been a member of 10 different churches. I'm trying to do everything good that I can do so that when I get to heaven, my good works will outweigh my bad works and God will let me in. May I remind us what the Bible says? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. May I say that the grace of God has absolutely nothing to do with the works of mankind. The grace of God has nothing to do with the works of mankind. We're reminded, in fact, here in Titus, he says in chapter 3 and verse number 5, he says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When we look at this subject matter of the grace of God, and there's hope in Christ for salvation that is eternal, there's so many religions and so many people. Listen, you may be seated here today in a Baptist church on a Sunday morning, and you probably grew up some other religion, and you're getting back in church. But may I say this, if your salvation is based upon anything other than the grace of God that has brought it, then may I remind us, you do not have Bible salvation this morning. But listen, that's not the end of the story. Because even though salvation is not by works, and salvation is not by the church, and salvation is not by you doing as much as you can, there is hope in Christ. There is. You can have that confidence in a future event. We talk with people on a regular basis, and I'll ask people, if you were to die today, do you have the assurance that you'll spend eternity in heaven with Christ? Well, I'm not sure. Well, I don't know. You know what the good news is? There's hope. There's hope. You know what message that we can give to an entire religious community that's around us that, listen, they are going through life with no hope for eternity whatsoever? You know what message we can give to them? There's hope. There's hope in Jesus. There is. You see, some people view death as just being the end of it all, and there's nothing that comes after that. Well, after we die, we're just buried, we're put in the ground, and that's the end of it. If that were true, then you might be fine living this world. But may I say this, that we have the Word of God on it, that that's not the end of it. You see, there is doom and gloom that awaits someone who's never trusted Christ as their personal Savior. You see, the Bible reminds us in Luke chapter number 16, you have the beggar named Lazarus who died, and the Bible says he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, but it also says that the rich man died, and immediately, and in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments. You see, we could preach about hell all day long, and some people do that, but they never do it by offering the alternative and offering hope. You see, there's hope outside of hell. There's hope outside of being separated from Almighty God for all of eternity. But listen, if you've not made the decision for the Lord Jesus Christ today, you have no hope whatsoever going forward. But as soon as you trust Christ as your Savior, you say, well, I've got hope in Jesus. And I want to tell you that there is a better day that could come for you ahead. There is a better day, but it's only going to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And aren't you thankful, this simple little verse? Some people say this, I heard it for years as we'd walk in and out of prison. Well, preacher, I've just done too much. I don't think God can save me. I don't think, because of what I've done and the wicked life that I've lived, God could never forgive me. How many are thankful for the day you found out that God could save you? And that God could forgive you. There is no greater joy. Listen, now I appreciate every young person that bows their head and trusts Christ as their personal Savior. I would rather them get saved at 5 years old or 10 years old and be saved from a life of sin and all the scars that come with it. May I say this? Boy, what a joy it is also. When someone is at their lowest, they're without Christ, they've given their life over to drugs and alcohol and crime, and they're sitting there thinking, God could never forgive a sinner like me. Be able to take him back and to be able to show him Moses. Be able to take him back and be able to show him David. And how David was as an adulterer, and then David was a murderer, and then on and on throughout his life. And to be able to say, you know something, but God saved his soul. And then to be able to bring them over into the New Testament and to be able to tell them about the Apostle Paul, who before that was called Saul, and he was a persecutor of the church. and he'd round up the Christians and he'd throw them in the arenas and they'd be killed with wild animals and they'd be crucified. They'd be boiled in oil and all those things that Saul at that time perpetrated throughout his life. But God saved him. See, he was going through life with no hope. But the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Don't you love that phrase? All men. All men. Do you understand that there is no one that's gone too far that God can't save you this morning? There is no one that is still breathing and under the sound of my voice that if you call out in repentance and choose God, that God would deny you. There's no one today. You say, but look what I've done in my life and look at these things. Listen, God is willing and able and desiring to take you exactly how you are right now. Just choosing Jesus. What hope has this life offered you anyway? But oh, can I tell you what hope Jesus offers you? There's hope in Jesus. Let me share just a few other verses with us. Look at back at Titus chapter 1 in verse number 2. I'm thankful for a salvation that is eternal. And Paul wrote about this to Titus. Look what he said and used our word this morning. In hope of eternal life. You say, well, that means we might get it and we might not. No, you're using your understanding of hope. You're not using the definition of hope. Definition of hope is confidence in a future event, the highest degree of well-founded expectation of good in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Turn back with me to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Look what he says in verse number 24. He says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Can I say this? It's in the context of the previous verses, it talks about the whole creation groaneth and travaileth, and we're waiting the adoption, the redemption of our body. Listen, we've got the earnest expectation that we are going to see Jesus one day. We're saved by hope. We know that when we trust Christ as our personal Savior, listen, it is as good as it's already done. And I know I'm going to spend eternity with my Savior. I'm saved by hope. He gave me the assurance. He gave me the confidence, the well-founded expectation. That's what I have in my heart, salvation that is eternal. But then may I say this for those of us that are saved this morning already, and if you're not, listen, that whole 15 minutes worth of preaching was for you. If you're here this morning, you've never made that decision for Christ, you can have salvation that is eternal. But then let me show you this in verse number 12. Look at that first phrase. I want you to see there's hope in Christ for being separated from the world. He says in verse 12, the first phrase, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. May I remind us of something this morning? For those that are seated here this morning, for those that are battling and fighting with sin that is in their life. And when I say sin, I'm talking about things that are contrary to the Word of God. I'm talking about sin are things that have broken the law of God. There is hope to be able to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. In fact, there's hope in Christ. Do you understand that according to Romans chapter 8 that we just read earlier in that passage, he says that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And who is that one that loved us? It's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. We love singing, as some would say, the kindergarten song or the Sunday school song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Let me say, he's the one that loves us. And we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, through him that gave himself for us. You say, but pastor, I'm saved and I know that I am, but my life is full of sin. My life is full of wickedness and it's separating me from God and my relationship with him. Listen, there is hope for that. There is hope as we draw nigh to God. He draw nigh to us and we can be separated from this world. Now, this is where religion so many times falls short. You see, there's a second half to this verse. We read the first part and it talks about denying ungodliness and denying worldly lust. But may I say, there's hope in Christ, yes, to be separated from this world, but there's hope in Christ to be sanctified towards God. You see, we've got religions that are around this world, and they'll say this, they'll say, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, and they'll live a life of separation, but they won't live a life of sanctification. They won't be separated unto God, even though they're separated from the world. You know this, it's not enough just to not do things throughout the Christian life, but God gives us a list of how we can live. And he says this, he says that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, he says this, here's how we're sanctified unto God. We should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Listen, God doesn't just tell us what not to do. There's those that live their life and I don't do this and I don't do this and I don't do this. Okay, but what are you doing for God? How are you living? Are there characteristics in your life that tends towards sanctification to God? Someone once said that holiness is not just separation from the world, but separation to God. You see, when you get back in the Old Testament and they start talking about the vessels that were used there in the tabernacle and later on in the temple, the Bible says that they were sanctified. Do you know that some of those vessels were actually used in a home at one time? Because when an offering was taken up, they brought vessels of all kinds to be able to be used. Some of the things that were just gold, and they weren't able to be used for that. They were melted down, and then new vessels being formed. But there were some that said, listen, we're not going to use them that way, but, you know, just not to use something, you can just put it in a box and put it in storage. But when it's dedicated and sanctified, and it's unto God, guess what? It's not just it's not being used for the world, but it is being used for God. I'm saying, Lord, would you help us? There's hope. Some people look at their lives and say, listen, it's full of sin. It's full of wickedness. And listen, there's hope to be able to get repentance of that. There's hope to be able to start afresh and anew and say, I know God doesn't want this in my life. But boy, there's hope when God takes that and gets rid of that sin through repentance and confession and gets rid of that. But then he takes a life and begins using it for his honor and glory. Boy, isn't it wonderful? Boy, some people think back, listen, think back 40, 50, some 60 years. And where your life was and where it could have been today. But God said, I can get that out of your life and not just get that stuff out, but now I can use your life for the glory of God. Boy, what a blessing that God would choose, listen, not just to get stuff out of us, but to be able to start using us. Man, I'm telling you, when I think about the grace of God, when I think about there's hope, and some people, we had an object lesson that we'd use with kids as we traveled around, and whether we were doing a Sunday school lesson or a junior church lesson, and I say we, but my wife taught it to me, so then I used it, okay? And we'd walk in with a little broken pencil. It's about that long. And I don't know if you ever did this when you were in school, that you'd have your pencil and, boy, you'd use it and, boy, you'd sharpen it all the way down to the bottom. You'd use it. I mean, I remember using pencils that were about that long just to say I did it. I mean, just to be able to brag. Look at the side. Look at that. I'd make sure that the eraser was broken off the edge. And, I mean, it was just down to the metal. We'd have this. We'd walk in there and start talking to some young people and say, you know, these are some lives that we're dealing with right now. And these lives, they're broken. They're almost completely used up. I mean, it was broken off the end of the pencil. It can't be used right now. The eraser can't be used. You can't erase anything out of your life. And we'd show them. Walking into prison, that's who we were trying to reach. And we'd take that little pencil and say, but you know something? Boy, God can still do something with this. And we'd sharpen that pencil down, and there's still some lead in there, and we'd be able to show them and say, listen, but with God, He can take things, and those rough edges, boy, He can sharpen them down, and it can still be used. But not as much as this whole pencil. And be able to say, you know, this one represents your life right now. And be able to show them that not only is God willing to change where a person's life is right now, but He's willing to take that life and to be able to use it for His honor and glory. May I say this, those that we've come in contact with, that listen, they've spent years behind bars. And I'm not talking drinking alcohol either, okay? I'm talking years behind bars. And listen, it's not just that God has taken some things out of their life, but God has put some things in their life. And now God's able to use them for His honor and glory. Not just teaching them that denying ungodliness and worldly lust and getting some things separated from this world, but being able to be sanctified and living soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. You know what the biggest holdback is of someone living a sanctified life? It's just us, by the way. It's just us. Because we'd rather hold on to some of those things of the world because we're still enjoying that pleasures of sin for a season. But then when that day's over with, when that season's over with, and we know, and listen, someone may seem happy, but I believe in their heart they know there's sin. They know things aren't right. I'm so thankful that God just doesn't separate us from the world, but He sanctifies us unto the Lord. Let me share a few verses with us. Look over at 1 John chapter number 3 with me. 1 John chapter number 3. You say, listen, but my life, hey, there's hope in Christ. Look at this, being separated from the world. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 1. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him, look at this, purifieth himself, even as He is pure. You know what purifying is? We won't get into all the process of it. There's some kids that are playing around right now. And if you could stop it, it's distracting. You know what purifying is? It's that heating up to be able to get some impurities out of our lives. And the love of God has been manifest to us. And everyone that has that hope of being able to see the Lord Jesus Christ when He appears, guess what? The Bible says, purifieth himself. In other words, we're going to be separating ourselves from the world, but sanctified unto God. Turn back with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, look at this in verse number 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ, look at this, shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The Apostle Paul's reminding us, said, listen, if we have that hope, we are purifying ourselves. We are separating from the world, but yet we're also sanctified unto God, that Christ may be magnified in my body. For me to live is Christ, and to die is vain. Turn back with me to Titus chapter 2. I'll share finally this morning. There's hope in Christ for a salvation that is eternal. And if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you say, Pastor, it seems like I'm hearing that every Sunday. Every time I walk into church, may I remind us here at Granite State Baptist Church, I try not to give a message without sharing the gospel. Especially on a Sunday morning. Listen, it's not just pointed directly at you. Unless you're not saved, then yes, God speaking to your heart, make that decision for the Lord. There's a hope in Christ for salvation that is eternal. There's hope in Christ for separation from the world, that we can get rid of sin and we can live victorious. There's hope in Christ that we can be sanctified unto God. May I say this, there's hope in Christ for His soon return. What the Bible says in verse number 13 of Titus chapter 2, he says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, why do you get so excited about Jesus coming back? Have you looked around today? Have you seen what's taking place? Have you seen the wickedness that is abounding on every side in this world? But guess what? There's hope. There's hope. There's hope because Jesus is coming back. Do you remember what he said? And I'll read this to us back in 1 Thessalonians. He says in verse number 13 of chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Turn over with me to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. I know I'm turning to some scriptures. I appreciate you keeping up. Help someone beside you if they're having to go back to the table of contents each time and they're learning the books of their Bible. Help them out. Turn back to them with them. Colossians chapter number 3. Look what he says. There's hope. Verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Then shall ye also appear with him in glory. May I say this? There's hope in Christ today of his soon return. I believe the Lord is coming back. Now the question is this. May I say it's not the million-dollar question, because you're not going to buy your way there. It's the eternal question. Are you ready? Are you ready? May I say this? The Bible calls it the blessed hope of the redeemed, that we know that at any moment, guess what? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Himself, shall descend from heaven. And guess what? I love it where it says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. You say, what's the hope in Christ? Hey, this world isn't everything that's being offered to me. This world is not the end of my hope and the end of my expectation. But I have confidence in a future event. I have the highest degree of a well-founded expectation of good. And that is the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ returning. You know something? There's only one that's going to be able to get us out of this world. And that's Jesus. There's only one. You say, I wish I could just get out of here. It's only Jesus that's going to be able to do it. May I say and remind us again this morning, if you're seated here today and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, outside of Christ, you have no hope for eternity. None whatsoever. You can keep trying to do the best that you can do. but there's no hope. No hope in your works. No hope in your church attendance. No hope in trying to help others. No hope whatsoever. No hope in your moral good ability. No hope. But in Christ, there is hope of a salvation that's eternal. If you are saved and you're here today, there's hope of being separated from this world. There's some maybe seated here this morning. Boy, the world has just overtaken your life. And it just seems like everything, you're not in church, you're not reading your Bible, you're not praying, you're partaking in this, you're partaking in that, and the things of the world have overtaken you. I say this, there's hope this morning. There's hope. But it's only in Christ. You see, that's why there's a bunch of 12-step programs that don't offer any hope for anybody. Because they leave Christ out. They leave Him out. And as soon as you take Christ out of it, guess what? There's no hope for eternity. You may have hope and you may have help for a month or two until you get addicted on something else instead of Jesus. There's no hope. No hope. There's hope in sanctification to God. Not only can He stop some things in your life and purify your life, but He can then take that same life and use it for His honor and glory. Do you know there's not a one of us? Now think about this. There's not a one of us with some of the past that is in our lives. Now yes, He saved us, and I'm thankful for that. But how many of us actually deserve to be used by God? But He does anyway. What a blessing. I mean, we look at them things and we're like, yeah, I'm glad he saved me. And boy, aren't you glad God can save an old drunkard? Aren't you glad that God can save an old drug addict? Aren't you glad that God can put a marriage back together? And listen, if that's all He did, then we'd be eternally grateful. And He can separate us from this world, but sanctifying us unto God in a vessel fit for the Master's use, that He looks at the same life and says, I'm going to clean it up. I'm not just going to teach you to deny ungodliness and unrighteousness, but I'm going to teach you to live soberly and godly and righteous in this present world. Not just stop the way that you're living now, but I'm going to use you for My honor and glory. Boy, what a blessing God is to us. So that when we see Him, and the hope of His soon return, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. I'm so thankful for the hope that we have in Jesus. Now, I don't know if you're living in a world and you're surrounded by people and things that just keep telling you there's no hope, but I wanted to convey a message to each and every one of us this morning. There's hope in Jesus. And if you need to be saved, today's the day of salvation. If you need to repent of sin and get back into right standing with God, today's the day. Maybe you just need to rejoice that there's hope of His soon return and just start praying, even so, come Lord Jesus. Boy, would you just come today, Jesus, it'd be okay. You know, the only thing that holds me back from being able to fully say, I wish, I wish for the return of Christ. But I do know this right now, that if Jesus were to come in the next 5 minutes, there's very possibly some that are seated right here that you've not made the decision for Christ. You know something? I may disappear in the twinkling of an eye. And everybody you know around you that is so nice to you may disappear in the twinkling of an eye. I want you to know ahead of time, if that happens, what took place is exactly what the Bible said. Jesus came back, and all those that are His were taken up to heaven with Him. But there's hope for you. But just don't continue to live a life without hope. There's hope in Christ.